If his microphone was really an earbud and he was listening to the game, but probably not. probably not, right? So I know I'm always talking to you guys about movies, right? Because I love them, right? So I'm going to do it again today. Who has seen It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, really, seriously, like almost all of you. It's great. It's a classic, right? And why do we love it so much? Because we see a man who's deconstructed, and he's put back together again. At the end, all is restored. All is not only back to normal, but it's better than it was at the beginning. All the questions are answered. All the blanks are filled in. It's tied up in a nice bow at the end by the time the credits roll. Then, there are movies that leave us with tons of questions, scratching our heads. Movies with no resolutions, like 2001 A Space Odyssey. What the heck was that all about? Inception, Blade Runner, Lost in Translation, Memento. I mean, it makes my brain hurt. Did I enjoy these movies? Yes, I did. Is there a clear answer at the end of these movies? No, there is not. Do we have to have a black and white answer to get meaning out of a conundrum? No, we don't. And that's really good news, because today we see a little bit of a conundrum in our gospel from Mark today. Today we hear Jesus make some extreme pronouncements. He tells the rich man to sell everything. He lets his hearers know that it is impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And like a hairpin turn on a mountain road, he then declares that with God, all things are possible. A Lutheran theologian says of this passage, "The first thing to say about this text from Mark, and hopefully not the last thing to say, is that there's pretty much nothing we can do but manage it." Now, I appreciate her perspective, but I don't think there's any managing this text. We can't tame Jesus' words, nor can we take everything that Jesus says 100% literally, because he often speaks in hyperbole, right? We're always hearing that. So where does that leave us? It leaves us kind of floating in a conundrum, holding the tension of Jesus' love and his words and his actions, and then our reactions. Part of the misunderstanding begins with the rich man himself. He asks Jesus, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" And I guess this guy didn't hear Jesus' previous statement about the dependence of a little child and receiving God in an open and vulnerable way. Last week, in last week's gospel, we heard Jesus say, "Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." So our first tension-filled moment is right here. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything to receive the inheritance of the kingdom. People that inherit something do so because they're born into it. And as children of God, we don't buy this relationship. It's given to us by God. And to receive it, we must be trusting and open and free of barriers that we construct to give us status in this world. Jesus loves the rich man, and out of love, he gives him a challenge that seems impossible: to sell everything. Clearly, this man is all about doing. And again, he wants to do something to earn eternal life. The man has been faithful. The man has been good. But Jesus knows there's something that is keeping this man tethered to the world that he must break free of to enter the kingdom of God. Is it just because he's rich? What about his privilege can he not give up? What happens to this man? Does he figure out what Jesus is asking? Does he sell everything? Does he realize that money can't buy him love? We don't know. Our story ends with the man going away really, really sad. Who knows what change of heart happened? Who knows if the man ever became dependent, vulnerable, and open? But what we do know is that Jesus says all things are possible with God. The passage gets more confusing, and Jesus says to his followers that it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich person into the kingdom of God. So at this point, his disciples are getting really squirmy, and they say, hey, wait a minute. Well, who in the heck can get into the kingdom? And Jesus answers not with an answer. So Jesus, right? But he answers with an extreme promise. Through God, all things are possible. Now, we can take every one of Jesus' words point by point, and we can try to tame it into a sense. Or we can float around in this ambiguity. What we can still glean from this passage, even if we don't have the answers, is that Jesus, again, is trying to shake us up. And when we get too complacent, when we think things are just always going to be the way they've always been, when we are too tired or defeated or scared to make changes, Jesus is here to give us another perspective. And through this conundrum of a passage, we can be 100% sure that Jesus loves us, just like the rich man. Jesus wants us to be open, vulnerable, and dependent, like little children. And that although we can't do everything, God sure can. God's got us. God asks us, as he's done before, and he's going to do it again, to reorder what we think is important in our lives and put aside the things that aren't kingdom bound. We are kicking off the stewardship campaign this week, and we're going to learn during brunch today about some of the ways we're growing here at St. Tim's and how gratitude is the cause and effect of this growth. We'll be looking at the ways we serve each other and the community. When I read the gospel today was going to be about money and giving it all away, I kind of had to chuckle and go, Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? You'll be hearing a lot about stewardship in the next few weeks and how important it is to give money back, give your time back to the church. But I want to say that as we begin this season of giving, neither Jesus nor I expect you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor or to St. Timothy's. That's not what stewardship is about. We've titled this campaign Gratitude for Growth because we are grateful for the many blessings and the way that we're expanding in love. And as the season progresses, I just ask you to consider the gospel today. I ask you to consider the idea of not having the answer to every question. Questions about faith, about Jesus' ministry, about our calling. And instead, I ask you to trust. I ask you to feel. And I ask you to be vulnerable as children. To see gratitude through the innocent eyes of children. Brené Brown says that most people think that vulnerability is a dark emotion that's the core of fear and shame and uncertainty. That we don't want to be vulnerable because it makes us weak and exposed. So we armor up so that we don't have to feel these things. But she says that vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. Vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they're never weaknesses. We can live into conundrum with God's help. We can live into mystery with God's help. We can let grateful hearts lead us to places that we've never been with God's help. We can reach through doubt and fear to touch the kingdom of endless possibilities, rooted in love, with God's help. We can change the world, because with God, there is no impossible. Amen.